Please sit down. We're now going to have our reading from God's words. And this evening we're back in the second letter to the Corinthians and chapter 9, starting at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Just while you're finding that, let me explain where we're at. Last week, at the beginning of chapter 8, we're in the middle of a section where Paul is urging the Corinthian Christians to come good on their promise to give a generous gift towards the collection for the Jerusalem church, which is poor. They're in a time of need. I think there's a famine. And we pick up the reading halfway through his argument and then urging them to be generous, to come good on their promise to give. So I'm going to pick up the reading at verse 5 of chapter 9, and then we're going to go through to the end of verse 15. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and that through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is God's word to us this evening. Please open your Bibles again to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. While you're turning there, could I have the clicker? Is that okay? It's not down here. That's all right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. And let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you that as we go through sections of your word, it raises subjects with us that we may not have planned to think about or talk about, but they're subjects that are in your word. And Father, as we come to the subject of giving again tonight, Father, we ask that your word will change our minds about giving, that your word would prompt in us what is right to do with our money. And we ask that, please, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, we've come 9 chapters. If you've been with us on a Sunday evening, we've now come 9 chapters into this letter that Paul writes to the Corinthians. And if you've been with us over those weeks, you'll know that one of the things that Paul does over and over again in this letter is to put on display or kind of hold up what the real Christian looks like. He's done that as he's held up his own ministry, as he's defended his own ministry against attacks from people called the super apostles. He's putting on display the real Christian life. Thanks, Gareth. And as we come to chapters 8 and 9, it may seem, as he starts talking about this collection that he's taking up, that he's kind of had a change of angle, but he hasn't. Chapters 8 and 9, as he comes to talk about giving, are very much in the flow of his letter. As he talks about giving, he says that generous giving is a mark of a real Christian. That's exactly what he's pursuing here. Generous giving is the mark of a real Christian. It's one of the marks, as Peter helpfully took us through last week, of God's grace kind of taking hold of us and changing us from the inside out, that suddenly this group of people who are following the Lord Jesus become generous givers as a mark of his grace, his work in our lives. And so as we come to this tail end of the section about giving, chapter 9, verse 6, it won't surprise us to see that Paul is still urging this group of Christians to be generous. Have a look at verse 6. This image we'll think about more fully in a minute, but you'll see that the thrust of the image in verse 6 is be generous. Four times in the reading we had tonight, the word generous appears. The word generous carries this idea, which is why I've put this pot of money on the screen. It carries the idea of abundance, this kind of idea that overflowing. That's the idea behind this word generous. That's what he wants the Corinthian Christians to be with their giving. Abundant, generous, overflowing in their giving. Now let's just pause there for a moment, because there's several things to say about being generous, isn't there? I think there's two types of generous. There's what you might call grumpy generous, and there's what you might call cheerful generous, isn't there? So grumpy generous means that you can do the right thing. You can give generously, but actually inside you're right grumpy about it. Oh, you know, if I really have to give all this money over. Now that's grumpy giving or grudging giving, which is what he warns about in verse 5, which is why I started the reading there. He said, be a generous giver, not one grumpy, grudgingly, as if someone's forcing you to do it. You see, you can be generous and feel forced. You can be generous because you feel guilty. You can be generous because you think, hey, this checks a few boxes. This is clearly what Christians do, and maybe I should just do it because that's what Christians do. You can be generous in action, but not generous in spirit. And this is not the kind of generous giver that Paul wants these Christians to be. He doesn't want them to be generous and grumpy about it and grudgingly about it. He wants them to be cheerful. Have a look at verse 7. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, as if someone's kind of got your arm bent behind your back and is saying, put that money in. He says, no. Look what he says. He says, for God loves a cheerful giver. The idea of being cheerful is, actually, I want to do this. I want to be generous. I want to be abundant in my giving. I want to be generous to people. It's a willingness to do it. And did you notice that God loves someone who's cheerful about being generous? The word is God takes pleasure in it. God smiles when one of his people is generous, when they overflow in their giving. God loves it. He smiles. See, generosity is as much about your heart as it is about what you give. Actually, it is important. God looks at both, but actually, you need both in place. That's the sort of giver, that's the sort of generosity that Paul has in mind when he's talking to these Christians. But some of you will know the story in the Gospels where Jesus and his disciples are in the temple. And they're watching as people are coming to put their money in the offering. And then, you know, he's watching all these people pile in their money. And then a poor widow comes along with two coins. And because Jesus sees both these things, her spirit and her actions, actually, he says she's more pleasing to God than anyone else. So you see, it matters. Generosity isn't just kind of a matter of what you do, what you give, but it's a matter of your spirit as well. And that is the kind of generosity that Paul has in mind here. And so if we were kind of to distill this passage and go home now, which maybe some of you might want to, but listen up because there's lots more to say, then we could say this: real followers of Jesus are cheerful and generous givers. That's the bottom line of what Paul's trying to say about giving money. Real followers of Jesus, the mark of someone that really loves the Lord Jesus and God's grace has got hold of that person, is that they are a cheerful and generous, i.e. they overflow in their giving. Now, we need to go on, because actually as some of us hear that, Some of us are already beginning to feel chore-like about it, aren't we? Some of us are already beginning to feel that, well, Nathan's just kind of twisted my arm behind my back, and now I have to do it because he said it from the front, and we've got to be generous. And some of us will hear the danger, or feel the danger of, as we hear that we are, should be generous givers, of saying, well, I can do the right thing, but actually I feel a bit grumpy about it. I feel like I'm being forced to do it. Or some of us are hearing this and saying, well, that's a bit risky. I feel the risk of being generous, particularly if we don't have much ourselves. Maybe you're in that phase of life where you're just battling with your finances to make it work. And it seems risky. When God says, I love generous givers, you're thinking, well, I want to be generous. I hear that, but actually, that's going to be difficult because I don't have much. So picture the scene. There's lots of thoughts that can go around our head, but we've just passed around offering bags. And there's all sorts of things that might play this out. You know, as the offering bag goes around, maybe we think, well, perhaps I should put money in because other people are doing it. Or maybe we think I should put money in because it's the right thing to do. Or maybe you're thinking, well, I want to put money in, but then I won't have much left. These are the kind of things. You see, this is the danger. As we think about being generous givers, the way we start to think about giving in the wrong way. And it's very easy to find the act of giving, generous giving, a chore, a bit of a kind of twisting of the arm, and I've got to do it because that's what it means to be a Christian. Or actually, it's a bit of an arm twisting, and you think this is very risky, and I'm not sure I can be generous. But if we're kind of thinking that way about giving, then I want to say that we haven't really got our thinking right about giving. If we're seeing it as a chore, if we're seeing it as risky, then there's some things that we really need to get our head around. And as we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 this evening, and this section that follows, I want to say that more accurately, I want to say that God wants to change your mind, my mind, about giving. He wants us to kind of stand back, as it were, from just this action of putting some money in a bag or sending it from one bank account to another. And he wants to help you see this evening that our giving fits into a much bigger picture. There's something that we need to know about giving. Something that I hope, well, many of us will leave here tonight and our view of giving generously will completely change tonight. My prayer has been this week that some of us will begin to see why being a generous giver is a mark of being a real Christian. My prayer has been that some of us will walk out of here and our view of putting money in an offering bag or from bank account to bank account just totally transforms. And my prayer for all of us is that after what we've learned tonight, that by the grace of God at work in us, we will leave here and all long to be generous givers and be generous givers, both in our money and in our time and of ourselves. You see, the first way that Paul wants to change our minds about giving is he wants us to see that when you are a generous giver, you become part of something that I want to call God's generosity cycle. You become part of something. Now, if this doesn't work for you, leave it alone, okay? But I spend a lot of time in playgrounds with my kids, okay? And I see an awful lot of these. And in many ways, they represent what we're talking about tonight. You get on this merry-go-round or roundabout or whatever you want to call it, and you sit on it, and you go round, and then your kid eventually comes back to you, and you give them another push, and they come back to you. And listen, if you've got that idea in mind, then maybe it's helpful to think about what I'm talking about tonight as the God's generosity go-round. When you become a generous giver, when we give generously, we take our seat on God's ride, as it were, on this generous go-round, this generosity cycle. So you have a look with me. He introduces this cycle to us in verse 6 with a picture. It's a farming picture. Have a look carefully. He says, giving is like sowing. And the picture is very simple. He's pulling on an Old Testament picture or just a general proverb. You reap what you sow. So if you only pick up a few seeds and you go out to your garden and you plant your few seeds, then you're only going to have a few crops. But he says if you sow generously, if you sow abundantly, overflowingly, then you're going to reap a big harvest. Now, what is Paul getting at? Well, Paul says to them to give generously so that they reap generously. As we read on, the picture builds. Let me show you what I mean. Because as we give generously, what this passage tells us is that God gives generously to us. Just have a look at the start of verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God, did you read what it said? God is able to make all grace abound to you. As we give generously, God gives generously to us. Look again in verse 10. Now he who supplied seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. We give generously, God gives generously to us. And again in verse 11, and you will be made rich in every way. We give generously, God gives generously. Do you see the picture that's building? God will give generously to us. He will make his grace abound to us as we give generously. God will give, what it says in verse 8 is sufficiently. That's what the original language behind it means. He will give you everything you need, everything that is sufficient for you. Now, to many of us, giving generously, as we've already said, is a risky business. What if we don't, you know, if I give generously, I won't be left with anything, and therefore I'll be without. But I think if we really get our head around the first part of this cycle, then suddenly doesn't giving generously become a less risky business? Have a look. God will make all grace abound to you. Giving is it's a very private matter, isn't it? And rightly so. It says even in this passage that it's a matter of what we decide in our hearts. It's a private matter. And so we don't talk about giving much. But I want to just share briefly from my own experience of this cycle. As Emma and I, over the years of being saved, have sought to give generously, we can genuinely say that over and over again, we've learnt, we've experienced God's ability to supply for us in our personal needs. And I know, because I've listened to lots of sermons in my years of growing up, that there are loads of stories of people throughout history who have given generously and God has always provided for them and for their personal needs. I wish I knew more of those stories personally. I wish I'd read more of the biographies of the people of history who have been abundant, generous in their giving. And yet have always known, can always give testimony to this cycle that as they have given generously, God has given generously to them. And I'm sure if we went round this room, people could give testimony in their giving. I know it's private matter, but I'm sure people could give testimony to this cycle. That as we give generously, as we've given abundantly, almost beyond our means sometimes, God has always supplied for us. God is the generous and loving God who provides for his children. And it's not just financially, but it's also in our ability to deal. So God doesn't just promise to match for match, as it were. If we give generously, he'll give us back. Actually, he gives us the grace to deal with the fact that if we've given generously, we might have to go without stuff. He gives you the grace to deal with that you might not have the stuff that your neighbors have because you've chosen to give generously to something else. He gives you the grace to deal with the emotions of not having so much, if that's the case, not fitting into the world around us. This is a faith issue, isn't it? Do we take God at his word, that as we give generously, that he then gives generously to us? Stuart this morning, as he gave testimony to God, said that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And I think in many cases that's true as it comes to our giving. Do we take God at his word, that as we give generously, he will give generously to us? This is the reward of generosity, according to God's words. And that's the cycle of generous giving, that we give generously and God gives generously to us. That's the generous go-round. But we haven't completed it yet. The cycle isn't complete because we haven't quite come back to the start again. You see, have a look with me at verse 8. Why does God give generously to us? Is it that He wants to supply all we need? Well, yes, it is. But God has another purpose in giving us graciously to us, generously to us. His purpose, look at verse 8, is so that we can abound in every good work. In other words, he gives generously to us so that the loop goes round again, so that we can keep on being generous, abundant to others. God's generosity to us is enabling us to keep on being generous to others. Look again at verse 11. You will be made rich in every way so that, a really important word, so that you can be generous on every occasion. God gives generously to us so that we might keep on being generous to others. And so the cycle goes round. The generous go round goes around and it just keeps going. Now, it's really important, I think, as we see that cycle, for us to just pause and just think about it for a moment, because there is a ton of ways, and I'm sure some of you can think of it already, how we can misunderstand that cycle. There's a ton of ways that we can abuse that cycle. Let me just list a couple. The danger, first of all, as that we see God's generous go round, is some kind of get-rich-quick scheme. The danger is we're all greedy. We all want to gather stuff to ourselves. And so if we find another outlet for it, this seems a good one, doesn't it? We kind of wrap up our greed and think, oh, this is another way for me to get rich quick. The danger is that we start to give with the motivation that we'll get stuff back from God. You think of this like the ultimate investment scheme. Wow, you know, if I put my whole salary in next month, then imagine what I'll get back the month after that. But that is to misunderstand and to misuse what God is saying here. The gospel of Jesus never promises or guarantees material or financial wealth. Look again at verse 8. The way God gives to us will not always be financial. I know this might come as a shock, but money is not the most important thing to God. And there are more important ways that his grace can abound to us than just making us have big bank accounts. There are other ways for us to be generous other than just our money. Remember, what God's interested in is your generosity, your spirit of generosity. He's interested in our hearts. And that heart attitude of generosity can work itself out in many ways, can't it? So we may trigger this process. This passage is definitely about money, but there are many ways that God calls for us to be generous. This cycle of generosity will include our financial resources, but it isn't limited to it. So have a look at verse 11. There's two very encompassing words in verse 11. You will be made rich how? In every way. And there's another encompassing word, so that you can be generous on every occasion. You see, God pours out his generosity on us so that we can be generous even at times where we don't have much. That's the point. There are times in our life where we have little money. There are times in our life where we don't have much time, whether you're a parent or you're just really snowed under with work. There are times of our life where we can't give physically. But in those circumstances, God can make his grace abound to us so that we can still be generous on every occasion. There's lots of ways that generosity works itself out. Last week, Peter helpfully pointed out to us the Macedonian church in 8 verse 1. These guys were poor, and yet from their poverty, the Lord Jesus made his grace abound to them so that they welled up in generosity in every circumstance. They didn't have much, but they were still being generous, and they gave abundantly from what they had. What an example that Macedonian church is of grace-empowered believers in our Lord Jesus, who were made rich by God so that they could give on every occasion. You see, as we give generously, look at the cycle again. As we give generously, God gives generously to us in loads of different ways so that we can keep on being generous to others in every season of our lives. And if you're not persuaded, just have a look at verse 9. Verse 9 is the living, walking example of this cycle. In verse 9, he quotes from Psalm 112. And in Psalm 112, we meet a man who fears God and has been abundantly blessed by God, generously blessed by God. And he has many resources. And what do we find that man doing? Well, that's where you get this quote. In the psalm, we meet him using these generous resources that God has given him. What's he doing? He's scattering these lovely resources to the poor. He's being generous. Do you see that? Here is an example, a living proof of the cycle, that the cycle works, that the cycle does what it says. He scatters his gifts abroad to the poor. His righteousness endures. And the Lord continues to bless him. That's how the psalm goes on, so that he can continue to be generous. This is the cycle in action. And very simply, I want to ask this evening, are you part of this generous go-round? Have we taken our seat, as it were, on God's cycle of generosity? Is that how you think about your giving? That you take your place on this generous go-round, that as we give generously, God gives generously to us so that we can keep on being generous to others. It completely changes the way we think about our giving, doesn't it? The implication of verse 6 is that if we're not part of this and we're sowing in a stingy way, then we're missing out on this cycle of God's generosity, of being part. I don't want to be irreverent for a moment, but it's kind of like a dance, isn't it, with God? That this movement that as we give, then he responds. You see, you cannot outgive God. That's what this cycle's about. You cannot outgive God, and you are going round and round in this cycle with him. Because God is all rich and all powerful. And so the first way, really, that Paul wants to change your mind about giving is he says, look, take your place on this generous cycle, God's generous cycle. And much more briefly, I want to show you the results of this. If you take your seat on this generous go-round in your generous giving, then all sorts of things will start to happen. There's all sorts of results, all sorts of... This is wrong language, I know, but benefits package. You know, there's this big package of stuff that happens as you're involved in giving in this way. And the first is this, verse 12. It meets the needs of God's people. If you're involved in giving generously, then God uses you to meet the needs of God's people. You know, God does not need us to meet the needs of his people. If you've read today's psalm that we've been reading together, it says, you know, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. God's got all the resources of this world at his fingertips. He does not need me. He does not need us to supply the needs of his people. And yet, as we are generous givers and we take our seat on this generous go-round, God uses us to meet the needs of his precious blood-bought people. Whether that's here in this local church or whether that's further afield in other countries where our brothers and sisters are struggling and we may never meet them face to face until heaven. But God uses our generous giving of money and of other resources to meet the needs of his people. As you privately and I hope deliberately decide what you are going to give, isn't it an amazing thought to think that as you do that, as you take your place on the generous way around, God is using that to meet the needs of his people. What a joy. What a joy that the God of heaven, who has all resources at his fingertips, uses us to do that, to meet the needs of his people. That's thing number one. Thing number two, it brings overflowing thanks to God. If you're on this generous cycle, if you're giving generously, then it brings thanks to God. Again, look at verse 12. It says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Being on the generous go-round robs you of any pride in your giving, because actually it shows that all our giving originates with God. It originates because he has worked his grace in us to make us generous givers. And then he's given to us again so that we continue being generous. And so anyone on this generous cycle, whether it's someone receiving the gift or whether it's someone giving, where is our praise directed? It has to be directed to God, because giving is all his work. And so let me ask you a few questions. Do you, as you give, long for God to be thanked and praised as a result of the giving that you do? Do you long for people to say, God, thank you You know, put yourself in the shoes of a moment of a Christian in another country. Perhaps there's famine or there's persecution or there's trial, and there's been a gift that's come in from another country, and that believer receives that money, and although they don't know who's given it, they are God, thank you. Thank you that you have so moved the hearts of your people in another country to be generous that our needs here are met. God, thank you for your grace in the lives of those believers somewhere else who have resources. Does it delight us to think that people are praising God because of our generosity, because of the way that God has moved us to generous actions? Gareth and I, one of the apprentices here, were looking at a passage from Matthew this week that he has to look at for one of the courses he's studying. And it's very interesting because in that passage it says, beware that you don't give your money for the praise of men. That's a real danger, isn't it? That's a real danger for us, that we want people to say, what a good person they are. But actually our desire, our longing as Christians, is that our Heavenly Father, that the supplier of all things, the one who makes his grace abound to us, gets thanked and praised. And as you take your seat on the generous go-round, God will be praised for our generosity. God will get the praise. God will get the thanks. That's what's happening. Number three, as we take our place on the generous go-round, it brings unity in affection and prayer. Look at verse 14 with me, if you wouldn't mind, over the page for me. Verse 14. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Do you notice what happens in verse 14? There's this praying and this heart's going out. If we were to pick a word to describe it, which is the word I've picked here, it's unity, isn't it? There's this kind of loving relationship that goes on. There's a bond between giver and receiver. They're thankful and their hearts are going out to you. They're praying for you. It will create a group of people who are earnestly praying for one another. Isn't that the sort of community that you want to be part of? A community where someone's heart is going out to you as they pray for you and your heart's going out to somebody else. A united community. As you take your seat on the generous go-round, giving generously, can I say that you are contributing to that community? That's what this is saying. As you give generously, you are contributing to being to a group of people becoming united and full of affection for one another and praying for one another. Really? As I put some money in a bag, I'm doing that? Yes, if you are a generous, generous giver and you're on the generous cycle. And then lastly, it proves that we're following Jesus. Generous giving, being on the generous go-round, actually proves that we are people who have genuinely confessed faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Generous giving, being on the generous go-round, displays that we really truly belong to him. We see that in verse 13. Giving doesn't save you, but generous giving is an evidence that you are saved. Four things that flow out of being on the generous go-round. And if that doesn't change your view of what happens when you give, then I'm not sure what will. This is what it means to be part of the generous go-round. This is what happens as you take your place as a generous giver in God's generous cycle. Real followers of Jesus are cheerful and generous givers. Why? Why are we cheerful and generous givers? Why does this happen as we do that? Well, not because we're better than other people. It's not because we're somehow kind of superhumans who've kind of got less hold of our money. It's not because of what we get out of it. Actually, the simple reason that Paul gives, why are Christians, why are real followers, those who are cheerful and generous givers? It's simply because they experience God's grace to us. I hate roundabouts. I really do. And when Amy gets me spinning on one of them in a park, I feel very, very sick. But someone gave me a top tip, which is that if you keep looking at one point as you go round and round and you kind of spin your head as quickly as possible, then you feel less sick. I've tried it. It doesn't really work very much. But But actually, it is a good principle. If you keep looking at one point, then as you go round and round on a cycle, then you'll keep undizzy on the cycle. And actually, you can get yourself tied up in all sorts of knots about the generosity cycle. You know, well, if I give, how is God giving to me? And you can get yourself lost. But Paul says, fix your eyes on one point, and then you won't get dizzy on the generous go-round. And what's that point? Look at verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's the fixed point that will stop you getting dizzy. That is the point that will enable you to ride the generous go-round and do it over and over and over and over again. He reminds us where the whole generous go-round began in the first place, with God's generous gift to us, the Lord Jesus, who though he was rich, rich beyond anything we could ever imagine, the greatest riches you could imagine this world, Jesus was richer than that. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes, for our salvation, for our forgiveness, he became poor. Why? So that through his poverty, his grace might abound to us, that we might become rich, that we might know what it is to be forgiven, that we might know what it is to have eternal life. I've said it before from the pulpit, and I will say it lots of times, hopefully again, but God never asks us to do something that he has not done. And God asks us to be generous givers because he himself is the most generous of givers. He wants us to be generous because he has been generous to us in the Lord Jesus. And his grace to us, his grace in saving us, his grace in changing us, is the only thing, keeping your eyes fixed on that, is the only thing that will change us and make us generous givers. So as we finish, let me encourage you from what we've seen tonight to get sowing. Sow generously. Don't rob yourselves of being part of this wonderful cycle of God, the generosity cycle. Give generously so that God will give generously to you so that you can then keep on being generous to others. Go home and decide deliberately what you are going to give generously, what that looks like for you. And do that looking at verse 8. Believing wholeheartedly that as you give generously, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That changes our perspective, doesn't it, on giving? Simply from putting money in a bag to something much, much bigger, much more joyful. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thanks be to you, our Father, for your indescribable gift. Father, how we praise you for your generosity to us in the Lord Jesus. How we praise you that you looked on us in our great need and you weren't stingy with your resources, but you sent your most valuable Son. You sent him that we might be made rich, that we might know what it is to have forgiveness of sins and to have eternal life. Father, as we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus, as we keep our eyes fixed on that indescribable gift, please make us generous givers. Please help us to take our seat on the generous go-round, that we might know what it is to give generously and to know your grace abounding to us so that we can keep on being generous to others. Father, give us faith in your words. Help us to take action on these words and not just to think that it's a nice thing, but help us, Lord, to be generous and to take you at your word. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.